And welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett, as always, beginning here with Albie O'Connell. And once again, Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by our friends at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel on Mass Ave in Lexington. Go see our good friend Jack Mahoney, former Terrier JV player back in the 80s, my good friend. And he'll take care of you for all your bagel and breakfast needs. And with our answers for Albie this week, Coach, sharp contrast to last week. We talked after a sweep. This week we're talking after being swept. And obviously Friday was certainly a tough one. But for 1 minute, 59 minutes, the game was still under control.
Yeah, we played. They got to an early lead. And then we came back in the second period there. And second and third period were about as good as periods we've played in, you know, the second half. You know, from our intentions, our competitiveness, our managing of the puck, how we forechecked, how we played. Like, they legitimately had two scoring chances in the last two periods until 6-on-5. And they had, you know, uncharacteristic plays by us at the end of the game. Rim and two pucks. One got out, and then one went to them. They threw one on net, bounced off the goalie, and, you know, they hit their guy and went right to their guy off the side of the net, who banged it in, and they scored in overtime. So it was kind of... It was we didn't get the result we wanted, nor do I think we deserved. But that's hockey sometimes.
Yeah, you look at the game overall and some struggles in the first period, but a real solid second period and simplifying things as you've talked about. You know, pucks to the net, two defensemen get goals in the second period.
Yeah, I thought the first period we controlled the play. I think they had three scoring chances in the first. It's hard to play perfect. And the second, you know, we scored some goals. The first, we probably had better scoring chances than we did in the second and the third. Their goalie is just really good and made some key saves. And we found a way to get some, you know, goals. Mack got one down with the screen. Curry worked with his line really hard to get a puck out to the point, and Crowder deposited one. And we were starting to go. And we were starting to play really well. And, you know, we took the lead and, you know, went into the third feeling good about it and played a good third, and, you know, just was unfortunate.
Yeah, the third period was really reminiscent about, you could say, arguably the best period you played all year was that third period, shutting down UNH the week before in terms, we talked about decision-making, gapping on defense, everything was really positive, and you were really right down to that extra attacker in the final minute. It looked almost the same as the week before, Saturday before.
Yeah, I think it was even better, you know. I don't think we... We gave it the one chance off the side of the net where Tuck had to make a save with his pad. Other than that, they didn't really have a lot of shots. They didn't have a lot of chances. They didn't have any zone time. Their frustration level was high. Our neutral zone was really good. Our management of the puck was really good. And we had a few chances there in the third that we could have ended the game. We just didn't. But you got to credit their goalie for keeping them in there and alive through that game to give themselves a chance to win. And, you know, I just, the hockey gods weren't on our side that night.
Yeah, but for a bounce of the puck, and I know that you talk all the time about the difference with shots on net that can be somewhat misleading to when you break down the scoring chances overall.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the team gets 20 shots, but they have, you know, 12 great chances that we didn't play very well. And then they might have 35 shots and, you know, 6 good chances. You know, so shots don't really... But shots on rebounds, like if we're not playing sticky, we got to hang on to the puck, whether we catch it or squeeze it. And then when we get to rebounds, it's hard to pick up every guy off a rebound. But at the same time, I think our goaltending has been pretty sticky of late. You know, Tox especially versus UNH there was really sticky and played a good weekend. And, you know, puck was a little bouncy on him. He was fighting it a little bit, but he was there. It's not like they were blowing pucks by him. Mm. It's just he just got to hang on to some more pucks. So, we were pretty happy with the way we played. We weren't happy with the result, and I think it was kind of a little bit of a devastating loss for the team.
Any time that with circumstances such as that, the final minute extra attacker, and then the first minute of the overtime, it was stunning. In and up, you look like you're going to get on the bus with 2 points, and then all of a sudden that happened.
Yeah, it was a little shocking. I think everyone was shocked, and, you know, we had a turnover, and, you know, our best player had the puck, and he ended up turning one over where nine out of 10 times the guy doesn't jump that play. Like, they back up because if the guy missed it, we were 4-on-2. And then the guy comes up with a puck and he did the right thing in overtime, tried to shoot it. Instead, it hit our stick, bounced over our other defenseman to their guy standing in the back door, which was just, you know, not great luck, not great puck luck. But, you know, you gotta tip the guy's cap, and, you know, he made an aggressive read that worked out.
It's amazing with that building too. Over the last 3 years, you've done a lot of things well to win the last three games, and yet it's been an overtime loss 3 years. It's just one of those things. You just chalk it up to hockey and the bounce of the puck and some strange things that can happen.
Yeah, and there was some bounciness to that building. You know, I think in overtime last year, there were in a 3-on-3 rush. The guy throws a wrister at the net. It legitimately went in the breadbasket, out the breadbasket to a guy standing there. So I think they've, they do a good job of, there's tough angles and sharp angles, and it's not the brightest building at times. And, goalies sometimes have a hard time picking pucks up in that building, and that's been proven for sure.
And coming back on Saturday, once again, stunning, after a stunning result on Friday, you get back on the bus, you get back home. Do you think there was a little bit of an effect of that you felt in just trying to shake the cobwebs off to be able to be solid for 60 minutes on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think there was some reads in the game. I don't think we played I think UConn played really well on Saturday, night and day. First 10 minutes, we could have had 3 or 4 goals. And Vamaka made the one save where he, got the glove on it with Ferentz. It was a game-changing type save. And they go down the other end and on a 2-on-1 and score. So little moments, and then their second goal, our goalie got ran. But in the rules of the rules, by the letter of the law, that guy had the right to that ice because his pinky toe was outside the crease. So it's a tough rule. They give them credit for going to the net, but that was a very easy goal, and it was almost, it should have been a penalty on them. But and I'm not making excuses. We weren't. But we got into that game. We got back and we went, made it 2-1, and we had another power play and we had some looks. Going into the third, 2-1, you feel like, all right, we're in the game. At that point we got some momentum back, and they go out. We have a really good first shift of the third until they go down 1-on-2, and the next shot goes in the net. 3-1, the wind was out of the sails a little bit. So that's the way it went. I just think we put so much into the night before and the mental, and we get, and it's hard to come back all the time. And sometimes you got to have a better start to it, and you got to get the first goal and get a lead and make the other team press a little bit. So strange weekend. Very, very strange weekend. Mm-hmm. They feel like they probably played one of their best periods of the year on Saturday, mm-hmm. in the third period. I just felt that it was overall, splittable weekend. I think Friday night we deserved better, and Saturday I think we got what we deserved. I don't think we were sharp the way we needed to be at this time of year. And they're a good team, and they're big and strong and heavy, and they committed 4 and 5 guys below the goal line. So defensively, they gave us a couple different looks that we haven't seen. They left the front of their net wide open a few times. And we just, we weren't ready for that from Friday to Saturday. They switched things up a little bit and made an adjustment that, made it hard on our forwards.
Yeah, with their deep, you're talking about with their D zone, how they adjusted. They almost overcommitted but got away with it.
Yeah, they did. They brought four guys in below the goal line and smushed us a little bit. And their back checking was terrific. Zegras' line was out there. We had a bunch of rushes. We were mindless in our rushes, and we wanted to play a little more east west than north south and vertical, and just being simple and getting the puck to the cage. And we had 10-12 rushes that we could have done something with that we didn't.
And once again, especially this time of year, the season's playing through to the end of the regular season. It's still very highly volatile as far as position for the playoffs. I noticed you gave UConn credit. I think you got to give UConn some credit. They've won 7 out of 8 league games. Nobody's doing that right now. I mean, they've had some couple of impressive sweeps, and they're playing good hockey right now, and they're playing it at the right time.
Yeah, no, they're feeling good about themselves. I think when they get off the bus with that goalie, he's really good. Mm-hmm. So he gives them immediate confidence. They get some size and strength. They're able to win pucks over the faceoff dot. They got good faceoff guys. And their group of forwards are, they get a lot of different variety and they get a lot of speed. And I thought we managed their speed really well on Friday. I just, our reads were bad on Saturday, like mindless reads. You know, if we just played even off the rush, you know, we would have been fine. Like they didn't, it's not like they hemmed us. It's not like they had a ton of offensive zone play or scoring opportunities. They didn't. They just had some dangerous opportunities that they capitalized on. And they got good players that can do it. We just gave them too many of those type of opportunities.
Okay, we talked about that, the variety on offense. They do have a pretty good balance between some really big, grinding power type of guys. And then you throw in guys like 7 and 8. You throw in guys like Evans and Turnbull. They give it a little different look. And it's been a good balance for them.
Yeah, the senior, the two seniors, Freeman and Paysoff, or whatever his name is, they were terrific all weekend, and especially the guy the second night. I remember last year that he was their best forward when we played him.
At the overtime goal last year.
Yeah, I think for some reason, when he plays the Terriers, he gets pretty excited because he looks like one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Cav about him after the game last year, and I'm like, he was one of the best forwards we played last year. Like as far as having to deal with, and you know, his reaction was, you know, it's not like that all the time. He must have been up for the game, but he's been a little more consistent this year, and he's deadly. Like, that kid's good, and Turnbull's good, and the one little Russian and the big Russian, I don't know how to pronounce their names, but they get Kondalik, who's a big, yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm. They're good. You got to tip your cap. They're not unbeatable. You know, we played an average game, and we had a chance 2-1 in the third, and I thought we played really well and lost. So points are critical right now, and you know, they're playing well, and you know, they went up to Maine and almost swept Maine. You know, so they're getting, watching that game, they're, you know, their goalie's going to keep them in it. So, and they've got enough offense and enough size and strength to, if they back check and play that hard defensively, they're going to be a tough out.
And the injury bug biting again. Case McCarthy gets the goal on Friday. And then was out, I believe, upper body injury. His status coming into the one game to focus on this weekend.
I think it was one shift later. You know, we played 5D, and then we went the second night. We played 6D with Driss coming in, but he's day to day. He's been skating a little bit, but you know, enough where he's, you know, probably not going to be ready.
And also Matt Equestria, who had an injury in practice the week before. His status here moving forward, I believe, also upper body injury.
Yeah, he's going to be out for the year. It's unfortunate because he's had a great year. He's big, strong. He's a good penalty killer. He just gives us a size and strength, you know, on a team that, you know, we don't have a ton of huge guys. McCarthy gives us a physical presence, so we lose two big physical bodies, you know, which is not great at this time of the year, but, you know, we have way less injuries than we did in the first half. So, knock on wood, we'll hopefully that'll continue, and you know, we'll get Case back, and you know, Q will be out, and then hopefully we'll have a full complement. But I just remember the game we went up to Maine, we had 7 guys out. You know, so, you know, to have one forward and one D out, it's a lot more manageable.
And before we get to the next opponent for the Terriers tomorrow night, just a word on Gabe Chabot. He's our Terrier profile. We'll be talking to him this week. And I've really enjoyed watching him for 4 years. Just overall, a real heart and soul type of guy. And just your perspective on Gabe and what he's been to the team this year and what he's been to the program over 4 years.
Gabe's been great. He's a little kind of a spark plug. You know, he's a heavy body for a little guy. He gets around and he can throw his physicality around and knock guys off pucks. He's got a good shot. He's had his best offensive year this year. And a guy that scored 5 even strength goals, and he doesn't get as much ice time as others. So he's had some key goals and some critical goals in games. And he's played really well this year, and he's played well throughout his career. And, you know, you bring a new guy in, and then all of a sudden Gabe's still in the lineup just because he plays the right way. And he gives us a sense of poise and confidence on the bench. He's just always positive. He works hard on his game, and he's a likable guy. The guys on the team like him, and he was a good addition, and he's been a good senior.
And next opponent, Boston College. They need no introduction. You've had two absolute wars with them this year when you consider the competitive level of those two games, the one goal loss at Kelly Rink, and then the overtime, the huge win in overtime in the Bean Pot. They've certainly got it cranked up offensively right now, judging from what they've done. The puck's jumping in the net for them here late in the year.
Yeah, they scored four versus us twice. You know, as we just scored five and three. You know, so I'd like to hopefully keep the numbers that are going in the net for us versus them, and you know, maybe limit you know some of theirs going ours. But they're going to get their chances. Like, they're a good offensive team. You have to play disciplined and stay out of the penalty box. They're very dangerous off the rush. They're very dangerous through transition. Their D moved the puck up very well, so we're going to have to be really good managing the puck, how we manage the neutral zone, and how physical we are. You know, you to slow a team down, if you play physical, you can slow them down. Yeah. So we're going to have to be physical and make sure we're getting inside them and inside their jerseys, you know, so we can play on the right side of people.
Yeah, slowing down a team like that, a little bit of a taste of a game that we talked about not long ago from your career, and you think back to what the Terriers did to that Michigan juggernaut in 97. That was a physical effort. Need a little bit, calling a little bit of that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that team was a little, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from from BC. But
not on that level, but similar game plan.
But yeah, no, you're going to have to play. And reality is, anytime you play in your zone, you have to be physical, you know, to slow people down and stop them up and get the puck back. Neutral zone, if you create hard ice, you'll create turnovers, so you can get the puck back and go on offense. And then on the forecheck, you know, you want them to hurry pucks, and so if you can get F1 in there and get a body on them and stay in teams' faces, you know, it'll slow them down, and, you know, they might rush plays and potentially wear a team down. You know, you want to play with the puck, and in order to get it back, you have to have that mindset to, you know, step into people.
Make them work real hard to get it back, and as you talked about, protecting the puck and possession is imperative to be successful.
Yeah, no, they're really good in transition. They're really good off the rush. You give them a 2-on-1, you know. I've seen a lot of 2-on-1s by them lately watching games from playing Havoc in the Bean Pot and, you know, playing the game last night. You know, they can deposit. They can score. So we're going to have to, you know, make sure that they have to earn every goal they get.
And also, Albie, for the BC game, for the first time back on campus, I remember when they came in with the cowboy hats. That's because I'm old. I remember that. But your memories of 1980, what were you, about two?
Probably like four. Yeah. Don't remember much of it. Obviously, see Miracle, right. No Mike, or Ruzioni, yep. You know, him being one of the coaches my freshman year. Mm-hmm. And getting to know the other guys a little bit just in passing. Mm-hmm. But to get them to come on campus tomorrow, I think they're going to bump down and see our team. So that'll be an exciting moment for a lot of guys. On the team, and good to get, you know, former Terriers back. You know, Olympians are not. You know, it's nice to get guys who played and wore the jersey back, connecting with some of your guys and some of the current guys. So it's, yeah, it's great. It's obviously a pivotal part of USA hockey history and, you know, hockey history in general.
And it's just my final point. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it's amazing to me that for this generation, 40 years removed, you're going to have guys, this happened 20 years before they were born, they'll be looking at these guys saying, gee, they don't look a thing like the guys that played them in Miracle.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's yeah, Mike still looks kind of the same, though.
Yeah.
A little bit. I don't know about the other guys, but yeah, no, it's a good time. It's a great memory, and 40 years, it's amazing that it seems like it was a long time when I was in college that happened. And
yeah.
Now, you know,
20 more years.
20 more years, I'm feel like I'm getting old, so but it's, yeah, it'll be a good night. It's nice to get them back, and I know that we see Mike a lot, so it's great. It's always got something funny to say and a smile on his face and a great personality, so it's always nice to have him around for sure.
Battle of ComAv renews tomorrow night, Albie. Best of luck.
Thank you.
That's our answers for Albie this week on Inside BU Hockey. Tony Corbett pleased to be joined in our Terrier Profile this week by Boston University senior winger Gabe Chabot out of Quebec City, Quebec. Gabe, where does the time go? It seems like yesterday I was talking to you when you were a freshman.
Oh, I know. It feels like, you know, just last year I was a freshman. But, you know, I've learned a lot along the ways, and so has my senior class. So, you know, we can't really look back. We got to keep looking forward at this point.
you know, roles change over the course of the career, and it was a really big freshman class that was brought in this year. You as one of the seniors, you feel that mentoring and that that leadership role, that setting the example, the more accountability this year with such a big group coming in?
Yeah, I think throughout the year, you know, they've had the chance to look up to our different seniors for our different reasons. You know, we definitely have different roles on the team, and I think each guy can find themselves in any one of us. So it's been a good year in terms of helping them develop, and I think you know, we've all had the guys that we've mentored, and I think it's shown.
This Hockey East race, you know, once again, as a guy who's been around this league for four seasons, we always talk about it's tight, it's every weekend, every game, it's parity, but this is just over the top. This has been crazy to come down now to the last three games for the Terriers and to have just 7 points separating eight teams right now.
Yeah, I've never seen this in these past 4 years. I don't know what the history is behind Hockey East and how close the rankings have been, but, you know, every game means a lot right now, and you can't really ask for anymore as a player. It's exciting, and it's stressful, so it kind of brings the best out of everybody, and no, at this point it's just exciting.
You look at the last couple of weeks, I mean, you've kind of the whole range of emotion. You get a sweep against UNH, swept by UConn, but there's got to be an awareness with your team that you know what you're capable of when you guys are executing and playing at your best level. I mean, you've been there. The question of being able to just make sure you get back there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we learned a lot about ourselves against UNH, and we did again against UConn. So I think we're just continuing to develop, and when we're playing the right way, we've been really good, really solid team, kind of a scary team for other teams. So really, it's just we learned a lesson last weekend, and we can't get caught by that same thing.
And for you personally, your best year offensively? In terms of goal total and tying your point total from earlier in your career, that's got to be gratifying for you. I mean, obviously, you've been the consummate role guy over the course of your career, but it's good to see the puck jumping in the net a little bit too.
Yeah, no, it was there was a nice stretch in you know, January and February where the puck was sticking to me and I was shooting in the back of the net. But I mean, it's more how many chances my line's been getting. We've been pretty consistent, and we've been. You know, I say a very reliable line for our team. So when chances keep happening, at some point they're going to go in the net. So it's not just me. It's my line. It's the boys that I play with and how we play together.
And once again, knowing your role, and you play with a lot of different guys this year, but it seems like you're the same guy no matter who you're playing with, and that's very important to have that consistency in your game.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to bring to the table for the past, you know, however long, and I think it's something that they see in me, that they trust me, so I just try and play the system as best I can, and then if offense comes, the goal is to not get scored on and try and score one. So as a fourth line guy, and we'll say a role guy, that's really what I'm looking to do, is to be consistent and to give them the same game every time so that they can trust me and keep me out there.
You know, hockey background for you and the family ties, the fact that your dad was a former goalie, played in the NHL. It's amazing for me to look around right now and see the number of guys that are coming to college hockey with a similar background. I'm sure you look around, it seems like every team you're playing, there's somebody that their dad played in the NHL. I mean, to me, you can almost have your own league. It's just sons of guys that played in the NHL. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just
maybe
them.
Their own league.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's just them seeing how it was back in the day and how, you know, well, one story my dad always told me is just how many of his teammates that could have made it a long ways, and you know, an unfortunate injury happens, changed the course of their careers, and then they didn't have an education to fall back on. So for me, it was early on the push towards the college route, but you know, maybe all those guys that made it think that, you know, maybe they were just lucky and didn't get banged up along the way, or that they found the right path to make it there, and that having an education is important. So that was the message I got, and I assume a lot of them also got the same message.
Indeed the case, and when you look back, you talk about the educational opportunity. I was just doing a little bit of checking on the academic side. You've made the most of that. You get your degree, what, finance degree in 3 years. It's commendable for that. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we have the chance to come every summer through the school. They help us, you know, get ahead in classes. Some guys take it as a chance to, have a lighter load during the year, but I don't see why we couldn't just keep a full load and also take the summer classes. So I was able to, you know, accelerate through the undergrad program and work on this master's degree. It's really cool. It's hopefully going to put me in a good place at some point, but as far as right now, it's just working on plan B at the same time as working on plan A. So I'm trying to put my best foot forward in both cases.
I wish I was as together as you are at 59, as you are at, 21?
No, I'm 24.
24, yeah, exactly. So, but you're an inspiration to me right now. I'm still trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing. But that's another story for another day. Also, whenever I talk to the son of a goalie that doesn't take that route, how happy were your parents that they didn't have the added expense of you being a goalie? Did you ever think about being a goalie because of your father, or were you always, I'm going to play forward, I'll play out, be a skater?
No, I thought about being a goalie early on. Of course, I looked up to my father, but the message was always, skate, be a player until you're 10, learn to skate, because that's arguably the most important thing for goalies early on, is just have the ability to skate and then try it. And I did. I did a bunch of hockey camps as a goalie around the age of 10. I liked it, but at that point, I'd rather score goals. So, but on the expense side, I'm sure there's been enough expenses with school and sticks and skates and all that. I'm sure it all adds up.
Indeed, it does. Ask your parents; they'll tell you all about it. And as far as this weekend, probably a good thing with the way the two epic renewals of the Battle of Calm Ave here. This year, the game at Boston College, one goal game, the game in the Beanpot, overtime, one goal game. Your thoughts now, and the fact that you get to focus on just the one game this weekend with BC, that's probably a good thing. Big crowd, the four U.S. 1980 Olympians in the building. Should be a great night.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting night. We're hoping we have a big crowd to watch us, and it means a lot to us. It means a lot to them, and really it's just, I would say, it's the reason why you come to BU, the Beanpot, the BC rivalry. So there's no reason to not show up for this one.
Absolutely. I was going to say, if you got a pulse, you'll be up for this. Yeah, and exactly. I'm sure you'll be conveying that to your teammates. It might be your last meeting with, it might be your last meeting personally for you and your senior class against BC.
Yeah, it could be. We might see them in the playoffs. We might not. Maybe in the tournament. We might not. Who knows? But it's going to be exciting, and we're all looking forward to it.
Thanks very much, Gabe. And let me just say personally, I've really enjoyed watching you, describing your games for 4 years, and hope you got a lot more hockey to be played. Let's hope we all do over as we head toward March Madness.
Thank you.
Gabe Chabot, our guest, Terrier senior forward from Quebec City, Quebec. Our Terrier profile here this week on Inside BU Hockey. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett, pleased to welcome to the program this week. They will be there in full. Yep, all four of the members of the BU4 will be in attendance as Boston University renews the Battle of Calm Ave with Boston College. And we're very pleased to have with us native son of Charlestown, Terrier captain from 1978, national championship team, again from 1979, All-American Jack O'Callaghan. Jack, welcome. Great to have you back in town this weekend.
Yep. Bernie, always good to be back in Boston. So,
indeed.
Looking forward to the game. Looking forward to the BUBC weekend here in Boston, and happy to be here.
Well, last weekend, you and your teammates from Lake Placid, the 1980 Miracle Olympians, were all gathered in Las Vegas. You guys have had regular opportunities to get together with reunions. What about the most recent one in Las Vegas, just to give us a little bit of insight about what that experience was like for you?
Well, it was terrific. It started for me in Chicago. I went and I live in Jacksonville, Florida now, so I flew to Chicago, and the Blackhawks were playing the Rangers, so the Hawks had a thing where I was out on the ice and introduced in the whole deal and dropped the puck and was able to say hello to David Quinn, who was on the bench coaching the Rangers, and
yep.
Rangers pulled it out. Next day, went to Vegas and got connected with my teammates, my 1980 teammates, and a lot of the guys were there with their wives. So we spent, three days out there in Vegas. Really fun. The Vegas Knights did a fantastic job. They're just a wonderful organization. Great people, just a great vibe out there in the desert. Just a great place to, a great experience to enjoy a professional NHL game. Had an opportunity to meet President Trump while we were out there, which is also a highlight of the trip.
Yep.
But, most of all, it's just great to be with these guys and their wives. And, when we're not running around doing things, and when you're racing into town, doing something, racing out this town. We had two or three days to hang out. It was just great to get, you know, reconnected and you know, just kick it around with those guys. It's a great group of people.
You know, anytime you get in a reunion situation, there's always, can you believe it's been that long? But when the particular reunion situation is the acknowledged greatest sporting event of the 20th century, it's interesting to know what it's like as far as when you think back. Does it seem like 40 years, or is that moment frozen in time, something that's always recurring through your mind so it doesn't seem that long ago?
I don't know, Bernie. It's, you know, it's 40 years ago, no matter how you slice it. So,
right.
I mean, you know, a lot of water's gone under that bridge. But, you know, it's like anything else. Your mind doesn't age, your body ages. But, yeah, it's when you're with guys that you went, you know, you played on a team with, no matter what team it is, it's always like you feel like you're back in that time. But, yeah, it's 40 years, man. And, yeah, fortunately, we've had a good run as guys, you know, for the most part. You know, we've got one guy that passed away. You know, guys are for the most part really healthy and in good shape, moving on in their life. A lot of grandparents and things like that. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to be part of this group for those 4 years, and you know, it's like a whole another family. Like you know, I get a lot of fun experiences. You know, my Blackhawk family, my BU guys, and you know, my Olympic family, and then my family. So you know, you have a lot of fun experiences throughout that, and yeah, pretty blessed with all that.
Testament to the rigorous training that Coach Brooks put you through to get ready for Lake Placid, that you guys have all aged so well and you stayed so healthy.
Yeah, well, he taught us how to exercise, that's for sure,
right,
whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. And, of course, we know, of course, now generations from the Miracle movie that might not have a frame of reference about what it was all about at the time. The divide there between your BU guys, the BU4, there were 9 Minnesota Gophers. It seems like, looking back, Jack, that the best thing that Coach Brooks did in terms of unifying you was the fact that everybody had a focal point, and that was your mutual animosity towards Coach Brooks as he kept pushing you forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it animosity. I would just call it respect, and I would just say that, you know, it's sort of like when I went to Boston Latin School, from Charlestown, I thought anybody that wasn't from Charlestown, you know, didn't measure up. And then you know, you go to a school where I'm in a place where I've got going to school kids from Hyde Park and Jamaica Plain and West Roxbury and South Boston, East Boston, whatever, all around the city. And you get there, and you don't have time. You know, the curriculum there was so challenging, and the bar was set so high academically. You didn't have time to, you know, be concerned with where the guy sitting next to you was from. You just like trying to help each other get through. And I think it was a lot of like that with Coach Brooks, where he set that bar really high. He's very demanding, and we didn't have time to worry about the nonsense, right? The regionalism is just like, let's just try to help each other get through this, because it's so hard and it was challenging. But we learned, you know, we came together as a team. By the time we got on that team, we played about 60 games together before we went to Lake Placid. You know, we really bonded as a group. And again, Herbie, you know, he kept it interesting, and we all had to work hard. I mean, even Mark Johnson is the best player on our team, and you know, even he was, you know, at the end there, no one really knew who he was going to keep on that team. So,
right.
You know, he had us all guessing.
One of the things that turned out to be a key element in success that you did have in terms of beating the Russians on that fateful Friday was the fact that Coach Brooks had that exhibition game scheduled at Madison Square Garden, memorable for you for a number of reasons. But as you look back, Brooks, the master strategist and the master psychologist to expose you guys, some people I know would question that. You read now years later about having that game scheduled, big stage, Madison Square Garden. But as you look back, that might have been one of the best moves that he ever made to get you guys that game and to get that exposure. Not good for you personally in terms of what happened to set you back at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, what happens is when you win the gold medal at the end of it, you know, every decision looks like you're Einstein, right? But, you know, had we not won,
right,
I'm sure he would have been questioned in second
guess. Right. Yep.
It just so worked out, you know, by us winning, we made everything he did look like, wow, that guy's really smart, you know. But, yeah, going down there and playing them, it is what it is, you know. I mean, we were prepared. We spent 9 months getting ready for Lake Placid. It was great to play the Russians down there. there in New York prior to going to Lake Placid. It was a good measuring stick for us. I mean, it just gave us a chance to go out there and see what we had. And, you know, obviously we got smoked, but helped us relax a little bit. You know, the game didn't matter. It didn't mean anything. And the next game meant something against Sweden, the first Olympic game. But,
right.
You know, it is what it is, right? I mean, like I said, us winning made everything look great. So I don't know if it was the right move or not, but and I'm sure Herbie, the day after we played him and we got beat like that, I'm sure he was probably second-guessing himself. But, again, you know, at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, right, we won the gold, so I guess it was a good idea.
It looks like, he was probably sitting there with Craig Patrick afterwards saying, you know, what the hell have I done? Or when he was shaving in the morning, looking at the guy who made the decision in the mirror.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine what's going through his mind. Like, oh, boy. Right? I mean, probably the other thing is, like, even after we beat the Russians on Friday, I can't imagine what's going through his mind when he went to bed Saturday night.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Nothing tomorrow. Oh, these guys are so good.
It might have been a good thing to play in the morning on Sunday, too. You know, less time to think about it for all you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, right. It was the first time we had played at 11 o'clock in the morning, and probably since we were peewees.
Exactly. Yeah, the last time you were at the Charlestown MDC rink, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly. And, of course, for you, your personal story, thinking back to that game at Madison Square Garden, the knee injury, I guess a miracle in and of itself, Jack, that you were able to, you know, just get yourself back, and the fact that Coach Brooks believed that you could get yourself back to contribute and to play again, and the fact that you did was obviously well documented in the movie, but was just huge.
Yeah, well, that wasn't how I had it planned to go down there. And, you know, we're losing by about six in here. You know, I'm trying to get a goal back. Right, we're already done. We're getting killed, it happened. You know, whatever. It didn't. Didn't look good for a little bit there, but fortunately, I had great. You know, the Olympics, you have great doctors, you have great medical staff, and these guys really spent a lot of time with me over the course of a couple of days to get me to a point where, you know, where Herbie felt confident enough that I wouldn't miss that much time. And, you know, as it turned out, I missed two games, the first two games, and played the next five. In the movie, you know, they had me coming back in dramatic fashion against the Russians. Yep. At the movie.
It was artistic license.
Oh, and I did it. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, on that team, I mean, I was, you know, I played a lot during the year. I mean, I led the team in penalty minutes, and I led the defenseman in scoring, and I played a lot. And all of a sudden, I wasn't playing a lot. So it kind of gave Dave Christian a chance to play more, sort of more in my spot there. And he had a great Olympics, you know, and he was a big part of us winning. So in retrospect, you know, it's all part of sort of the fate of our team. Like, we always look back and say, God, it seemed like it was fated, you know, and maybe, you know, it was God's way of, like, you know, getting me out of the way so Davey Christian could have a great Olympics. So whatever it was, you know, it worked out because me not playing as much and Davey playing more, I mean, you have to say it helped the team, so. I got no problem with that. We have the same gold medal, so all good. It's all about the team.
Yep, absolutely. It certainly was with that team. As you think back specifically to the game against Russia, what comes back immediately? I mean, there's obviously so many images and moments, but when you think back to that game, is there any one thing that really just, you know, when your head turns in that direction that it immediately comes to mind and is in your consciousness?
You're talking about the Russian
About the Russian game, but the
one in Lake Placid.
Yes, about the Lake Placid. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's all kind of a blur. You know, I mean, I think part of it was probably I was sort of on the bench. You know, Mark Johnson scored at the end of the first period there when the clock ran out and
1 second. Yeah.
So it's well, 0 seconds on the clock. Yeah. So the buzzer went off.
They didn't have the basketball clock. Yep.
Yeah, well, it was a good goal. We all knew that. But right. So the Russians, they just went off the ice. The whole team went off the ice. And so I stayed on the bench, and we all were kind of, we were all hugging each other and still celebrating. The Russians all went in their locker room. And I remember standing on the bench, and the ref had to go into their locker room and tell ticking off. He says, hey, even though the buzzer went off and there's 0 on the clock, we still have to have a face-off.
Mm.
With a half a second left, and then once we drop the puck, the buzzer. But that's how you can't end the period on a goal. You have to be ended on a face-off. So he brought out five guys, you know, now Michigan is actually in the game, even though it could only be for a half second. I said, but
right.
if he put Michigan in here, I go, I think he's going to pull Trachea.
Mm.
And I thought about it. I even said it to Craig Patrick. I said, did you see he put Michigan in the net? And Craig was like, no one really noticed it. And he's like, yeah, you know, he put Michigan in there. I says, yeah. I go, I think he's pulling trade deck. And everybody was like, no way is he pulling. How do you pull trade deck? You know, blah, blah. And sure enough, man, they came out and started the second period, and trade deck was on the bench. And that's something that really stood out in my mind. But, there's, you know, there's a million memories of it, and the whole thing was just a wonderful experience.
Pretty dramatic one to note
the
fact that it certainly was a harbinger of things to come. The fact that Michigan was in fact in the net, Tradiak had been pulled, and a little bit of perspective also. I think people don't realize is the fact that essentially that same Russian team that had won four straight, had gone to the Olympics and won four straight gold medals, they had beaten an NHL All-Star team about a year before that. If it was Wimbledon straight set 6-love. Against an NHL All-Star team, just to give a perspective of what, from a competitive standpoint, you guys were up against.
Yeah, well, they were the best team in the world. You could argue they probably could be the best team, the hockey team ever, that's ever taken the history of the game. Right from the goaltending right all the way out. Edmonton Oilers in the 80s, probably 9 Hall of Famers on that team. And I look at it and I say, wow, Gretzky and Messier and Kevin Lowe and Coffey, they're all in the Hall of Fame. And you look at that Russian team, and there's probably 18 Hall of Fame, NHL Hall of Famers that they all played in the NHL. They were that great. They beat everybody at will. They were big, strong, great, talented, fit, played like a team, they were just awesome. So the fact that we were actually able to, steal one from them was good for us, and we did it at the right time. So, and we've had 40 years of fun conversations talking about it. So, another good thing for us. I mean, it's been 100% positive 40 years, and I hope I'm still around for another few years to talk about it a little longer.
That can only hope for the 50th. Just take one reunion at a time, Jack.
One reunion at a time. Right now, I'm working on 41.
41. I was gonna say, don't bite off too much here. That's for sure.
Just trying to get to 41.
Indeed, and in the game, of course, the game with Finland. I think maybe even the most memorable speech is what Coach Brooks said to you when you were trailing between periods in the game against Finland. I think that one resonates even more than anything else that he might have said.
I don't think he said anything to us at that game. He might have said it before the game, but
right.
One thing about Herbie, he didn't do much in Lake Placid. I mean, he did a lot of his work in the 7 months leading to Lake Placid, and he even said it. He said, I want to get these guys to Lake Placid. And he goes, and then at that point, all the work's been done. He said, the hay's already in the barn at that point. I can't really do anything. I mean, he would talk to us, and obviously he would make adjustments on the bench and things like that, and he would encourage us, and he would support us, and he was positive. Once we got sort of into that medal round, I mean, we didn't really need a coach telling us what to do anymore. He had already done all his work. And I mean, that at the end of the second period in that Finland game, I don't think anybody sat down. We were pacing around the locker room. We couldn't wait to get back on the ice. We found a goal. We had 20 minutes to play, and there was just no way. And we were just pacing. And, we went out there and beat Finland 3-0 in the third period. And probably the best 20 minutes of hockey we played all year was our last 20 minutes that we ever played as a team. If you look at that, we were full of fire and full of emotion. And, that's how you have to play. Look, I mean, even when we were in college, you're playing a 30-game schedule back when I was playing.
Right.
And we had Coach Parker that guy, Jack was that guy. He was, like, full of emotion. He was full of fire. Every game mattered. Every shift mattered. And he was, and that's how you, when you play for Jack, that's how you play. You learned how to play that way. Or he recruited guys that played that way, like in my case.
Yes.
I mean, I was always a lunatic. And the thing is, we played like that in that third period, against Finland. We just were full of fire, full of emotion, and full of determination. And there's just no way in the world we were not going to win that game.
And I can still remember as a manager of the team at the time when you guys did come back sporting the cowboy hats and the coats on the ice, and I remember that vividly from back 40 years ago, and makes the event this weekend even more special. It's been publicized to the fact that This will be the first time you get all four of you out here to be honored at the same time. It took 40 years for that to happen, to get the BU four back together again, Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to be back at BU and be back in Boston. You know, it's the four of us, you know, Jimmy, you know, Mike and David live around Boston. Jimmy and I both live in Florida.
Right.
Parts of Florida, but we both are in Florida. And, you know, I was in Chicago for 35 years. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we see each other, the four of us, but you're right. Being back at BU together is special for us. We've got great memories here. We always have an affinity for BU, the school, and for BU, the hockey program, and, you know, girls and boys, or men and women, sorry. But, you know, it's important to us to be here to try to support the programs, and, you know, they're nice enough to want us to come, and we're happy to do it, as the four of us. We're excited that they, you know, they're going to try to, you know, renovate Walter Brown, and you know, again, this is such a great spot. Have an opportunity to see these kids, and I know what it's going to feel like. You know, I remember when I was 19 or 20, and these old BU hockey players would come in the locker room, and I look at them and I say, gosh, I'm going to be one of those guys one day, and can't believe I'm going to be that old. But, you know, now I'm that guy, and we did something special after we left BU with the Olympics, something that's resonated. And these kids grew up, these American hockey players especially, grew up watching it and hearing about it and seeing the movies and all that. So, and, you know, it's a big part of the BU pride, the BU legacy. You know, guys that play with passion and they play with emotion. And, you know, like I said, the Jack Parker, the legacy of Jack, you know, every shift matters. Mm. Every game's important. And you know what? You better bring it, even in practice. Like, you never take any time off when you're a BU hockey player. And that's how we played, and that's why we had success. And that's why all the BU teams over the years had success, when they play with that kind of fire and determination every time they put that jersey on. So, yeah, we're looking forward to being there. It's going to be a great game. You know, BU-BC is always great. Two great, great college hockey programs, and it'll be fun to be there and fun to, you know, to see the game.
Indeed the case. And you mentioned about the BU women's program, and of course your co-captain from that 1978 national championship team, Brian DeRocher, has been the only coach that women's program has ever had. Got them on the map almost right out of the gate, and they're in the playoffs this weekend, so I know that's special for you guys too, to reconnect with Brian.
Yeah, it'll be great. You know, I was actually talking to my wife and thinking about it, and I said, you know, I remember when we won it in 78, and the next year they raised the banner at Walter Brown. I remember my dad,
yes,
and Brian's dad raised the banner.
Raising the banner
on the ice and raised the banner. And now this weekend, I guess they're raising a banner at Agganis, and my son will be out there with Mike's kids and David. I think David's daughter's coming, one of his daughters, and I think Jimmy's son's coming, and they're going to raise the banner.
Wow.
And so I said, wow, it's pretty neat that I saw my dad raise a banner, and now my son raise a banner.
That's right.
And I was like, hmm? How the hell am I going to get to raise a banner?
That's right. Yeah. What's a guy got to do around here, you know?
Yeah, what's a guy got to do around here to raise a banner? But anyway, yeah. But it's actually pretty cool. When I thought of it, I was like, wow, my dad, my son, this is pretty neat, man. So I debt of gratitude to BU. I mean, I was there for 4 years, but pretty good experience and a lot of great memories, and you know, still kind of reaping the benefits of the decision I made to come to BU back in 1975. So, good choice.
Indeed, and that resonates, Jack. As we wrap up here, you mentioned about the BU hockey alums coming in the locker room and saying, "I'm going to be one of those guys." And I often think my relationship with Jack Parker, I was always fond of saying to him, "You know, Coach, when I went to my first BU hockey game, I was 7, and you were the captain." And all I can tell you, Jack, it was a lot funnier when I was 20 and Jack was 35. It's not as funny as it used to be.
Yeah, well, believe me, right now, I mean, you know, Parker's still he's still bouncing around.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best. I still talk to him a fair bit. And I guess that's a big, you know, it says a lot right there that, I mean, I still have such a great relationship with Jack. I know Mike does. Mike still works at BU. And, you know, Jack and David are really close. And I'm sure he and Jimmy are close. But, you know, I spent a few years with that guy, and it's like you have a friend for life. And
indeed,
you know, so yeah, boy, it's just part of my memories here. Is you know, Jack's a big part of it. But it's quite a place, Boston University. So really proud to be an alumni, and really proud to be back in town here. You know, participating in this weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to have you. Great to have all the members of the BU4 back this weekend. And very apropos to have them back on Leap Day for the Battle of Cornav renewed.
That's right. Leap Day.
That's right. The special event. Jack, thanks very much. Appreciate your time for joining us here on Inside BU Hockey. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
All right, Bernie. Thanks. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Jack O'Callaghan, our guest. I'm not going to list all the accolades. He's Jack O'Callaghan, and he joined us here on Inside BU Hockey, and look forward to this weekend with the Battle of Commonwealth Ave.